It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Happy Monday and welcome to KSL at Night, the newest show from KSL News Radio. We bring you the day's news with a refreshing take. Each night you'll get different hosts, and tonight it's Mara Carabello and Leah Murray with you here. So we are going to start out your week. As you would suspect, our top topic for today is the Russia invasion of the Ukraine. There seems to be a more visible line on countries who condemn Russia and support Russia. But one country who has been really quiet throughout this whole issue has been China. Reports from the Financial Times and the Washington Post over the weekend have cited that U.S. officials saying that U.S. has asked China for military equipment since its February 21st invasion of Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan will be in Rome on Monday to meet with China's top diplomat, and that's what the White House is telling us earlier. To help sort through this is Amos Giora, who is a professor at the University of Utah Law School, and we're very pleased to have you with us here tonight, Amos.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to start. U.S. is meeting with China today. What has been China's message on the Russia invasion so far?
I think initially that they were, I don't know if quiet is the word, but measured might be a better word. And in the last 24 hours or so, it seems that Putin has reached out to China, if the reports are to be believed, asking for military assistance, which I think is important yet surprising, or surprising yet important. And if the Chinese respond positively to that, then their measured response is no longer measured, but rather needs to be understood as having cast their die with Putin and Russia, which I have no doubt incurs the ire of President Biden, which is going to require him to expand the very complicated geopolitical chess game that has focused on Europe to date, and would now mean that it expands to the Far East, which I don't think was something that President Biden really wanted to see happen.
Yeah, so that's interesting, Amos. This is Leah. I'm wondering, what can the United States do? So it warns China that China would face consequences if they come in with a less measured response, as you used. What options would be on the table for the United States? What consequences could they actually enforce? What would make China behave differently?
Well, on the assumption that nobody's interested in any military engagement with China, it's much like with Russia, it's going to come down to economic sanctions, diplomatic measures. But at the end of the day, again, the assumption that nobody's interested in actual engagement with the Chinese, whatever economic leverage the United States has with respect to the Chinese, I would think that that's going to be the most impactful way to signal to the Chinese that their behavior is, from an American perspective, unacceptable. But, you know, one has to be careful with that, because trade relations and the economic power of China and the expanding economic power of China would certainly suggest that the president needs to tread carefully.
Right. So I want to ask you about sourcing, because I'm always interested in experts like you. One of the biggest challenges I think we have is reading the truth in certainly both Russia and China as we look at their actions and as we look at the propaganda. What sources do you look for? What are you reading when you're trying to decide where Putin is on this offer to China and where China's response is?
So I begin every morning early by reading the Israeli press, because the Israeli press is very locked in on what's happening geopolitically, because Israel is very dependent on what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. There are a number of newspapers in Israel that I read carefully. Then I expand that to a number of American sites, major American newspapers. I incorporate the BBC in that, and that enables me to have some kind of a sense of this complicated jigsaw puzzle, with the understanding that under no circumstance do any of us have a full picture.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is.
Right. I'm just wondering, too, so why, and so maybe it's a simple question, but why is China aligned with Russia? Like, what gives them similar interests? Like, why are they, you know, on a measured team? Like, why is it that they are together?
I don't know if they're together. I think the Chinese are consistently gauging the United States.
Got it.
If I were the Taiwanese, the Taiwanese have been watching the Russia-Ukraine conflict unfold because they're obviously viewing it through the lens of Taiwan-China. Mm-hmm. And because what world leaders do 25 hours a day, not 24 hours a day, is read the tea leaves emanating from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There's mm-hmm. a constant testing of the President of the United States, and you know, to check the boundaries, to see how far they can go and where the President pushes back. And that's why I think that, given that the fact that the Chinese seem to be open to some kind of moving from the measure to, I don't know if I would say pro-Russia, because never forget, the Chinese relationship with the Soviet Union was always complicated.
Mm-hmm.
There are no friends in this business. Everybody uses everybody else. And if the Chinese feel that they can, you know, score 2 points at the expense of the United States, for instance, the Chinese are consistently seeking to establish footholds, whether in the Middle East or in Africa. It's part of, again, what I said earlier, this very complicated chess game that goes well beyond the terrible, terrible conflict in Russia and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Does President Biden, if you're advising him, should he speak to this right away, or should he let this sit without a formal response for a while?
Interesting question. My take on President Biden is that he's very cautious in his public pronouncements.
Mm.
He seems to be more of a see exactly how things are unfolding rather than jumping into the fray. That seems to be his DNA. I think that's in contrast to the former occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But at some point, the other side or the other sides need to understand that even for a measured president like Biden, there are limits. But
right. But
as we all learned from former President Obama, when he said, you know, if Syria does chemical attacks, we will do such and such, and then drew the magical red line and then never honored that red line that he himself drew. Every American president, if he takes a red pen and draws a line, better be prepared to act in accordance, because otherwise they lose all, if integrity is the right word,
credibility
in the international arena. And that's the last thing the president can allow himself right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very good insight. I'm going to ask one more question. We only have about 30 seconds left. Do you see the Republicans, I look to Mitt Romney because we're in Utah, who are somewhat pressurizing Biden to make bolder moves? Do you see that having an impact on the Biden administration?
No.
Okay,
I think President Biden
yeah.
is locked. I do not.
I think that's right.
I think President Biden is, you can agree with him or disagree with him, but he has a clear way about him.
Yeah,
yeah.
It does not strike me as pandering to this side or to that side. I think he does a pretty effective job of ignoring the noise. By the way, frankly, to his credit, and if I was one more comment, I understand politics. This is not the time for playing to the cheap seats in the left wing, in the left field stands. It's very unfortunate that American politicians who feel the need to do that does not serve American foreign policy whatsoever.
Well said.
Okay. Thank you, Professor Guiar, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Up next, in the stories about Ukraine, we often focus on the real politic, like we just talked about, the chess game of what's happening in international politics. We're going to bring in now a guest to focus us, on the human story and how what is happening in Eastern Europe affects us as people. What does it mean for humans on the ground when states collide?